And welcome to Inside the Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we are going through every single Disney animated feature in order and talking about them. But we've moved on to Pixar. I'm Claire.
I'm Oscar.
And I'm Rachel.
And today in the vault, we are super duper excited because we have a very special guest. He is a photographer. He is a self-proclaimed ITDV super fan. Uh-huh. It's Sergio Lopez!
Hey! Oh my God, I just told them that I feel like the theater gays only go to Hamilton and, you know, they say, I'm in the room where it happens. And I feel like I secreted this in my dreams.
I think you did. So just to clarify, we know you because of this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is really exciting for us.
Yeah.
Because I think you're one of the first people who reached out to us, and you sent us all kinds of fun art and fun memes, and you create memes. You're hilarious.
Yeah. And very funny.
Yeah, Oscar was on Nicole Byer's podcast, Why Won't You Date Me?
Shut up.
And at the end, he just like where can we see you? And he's like, oh, I just do this little Disney podcast. And I was like, what?
Promotion.
Thanks, Nicole Byer.
I immediately went and I listened for like a good 3 weeks. I probably finished what you had done up to that point.
Oh,
wow.
Because I worked at a dead end like data entry job, so all I did was listen to podcasts all day, and then I spread it to my friends, and then we all talked about it.
Oh my God.
Well, color us letters.
Wow.
So, wow, we're like at a really interesting part of the vault right now, huh?
I love it. Well,
it's
there's
beautiful.
Tons of things to look
it's
at.
So
what are we seeing in the vault?
I see a dog with its tongue hanging out.
Uh-huh.
I see a hammock that looks really comfy except for all these dang bottles.
Oh yeah. I see a weird devil box that needs to be broken.
Oh. A devil box.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I see this weird like frog rabbit hybrid.
I love that one.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I love that one
so,
too.
Clearly we are talking about Coco. Let's talk about some lots of bare necessities of Coco. So Coco, 2017.
Yeah.
This is Pixar's 19th feature film. In terms of where we are Disney-wise, Moana was in 2016, and then, oh, shoot, I lost my place. And then the next one, oh.
But Moana was Disney Animation.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Oh, yeah, so Moana.
Mama.
Oh, yeah.
Moana
was 2016.
I am Moana!
And then Ralph Breaks the Internet was 2018.
Yeah,
so this is in the middle. Mamana. Yeah, Mamana. Anyway, okay, so that's where we are. And we're like really close to present day.
We're so close.
Again, we're creeping. We are creeping.
Yeah, this is like during... Wait, was Coco out when we started doing this podcast?
No.
No? Because that was... Oh, yeah, I guess...
Maybe.
I don't think...
Been,
oh. Yeah.
Because it's been 2 years since we've done the podcast, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it came...
Yeah.
Wait, so it came out during the podcast, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I was living in LA, and I know that I saw Coco with you, Rachel.
Yeah.
Suck my blue.
But
I saw
also,
Coco alone.
Yeah. You saw Coco alone.
I saw Coco, sorry to interrupt, but I remember now. I bought MoviePass thinking, oh, great, I can go see Coco. Yeah. But then I found out that you had to wait for your card to come in the mail, so I actually didn't get to see it. I mean, well, I still went and saw it, but I went to the Highland Theater, which is $6 on Tuesdays.
Oh, that's right.
And I went there by myself and saw Coco.
Oh.
And then MoviePass showed up.
And then MoviePass showed up, and it was really great until it went to shit. And
I
then
know.
Did you know they were changing people's passwords so they couldn't use the service?
What?
It happened to me twice when I had
password.
It.
Wait, what do you mean they were changing
they
the passwords?
They didn't want people using it, so they were changing their passwords.
What
and
password?
I would be on hold for like a half hour to change it, and they'd be like, okay, we're going to do it for you one more time, but don't
get
let this happen again.
Out of here.
Oh, wow.
MoviePass.
Scandal.
Wow.
Sorry, you were saying something.
Me? Oh, well, do,
oh, no.
Who's back? I actually saw a part of this movie early on a Disney cruise. Ooh. Yeah, I went on a cruise in September 2017 with my grandma. And they had some of the filmmakers from the movie come on, and they didn't have the full movie to show us. So they showed us scenes and bits, and I got like a better idea of what the movie was about.
What scenes did you see?
We saw the scene where he plays guitar in front of the TV, and then we saw basically where he first walks over the
the Line of the Dead, that little pedal bridge.
Yeah, the pedal bridge. And then they showed us a bunch of like behind the scenes stuff of like how they determined how everyone was going to walk and stuff like that. It was really cool.
Cool.
So you guys had seen this movie before.
Yes. We definitely have.
I saw it alone.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I saw it 8 times in theaters.
Eight
times in theaters?
So I saw it 7 times in English. And then they did Spanish screenings. And it was the first time I was able to take my grandma to a movie. Aww. And like I was sobbing the whole time. And then I looked over her at the end. And she was like, oh, that was nice.
Of course. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But that was great. 8 times.
8 times.
How many times have you seen the movie total?
I've lost count.
Wow. Is Coco your favorite Pixar movie?
Yes. Is it your Disney movie? It's up there.
Okay.
But yeah, since they announced this at D23, I think it was 2015, probably, they showed the concept art of Mama Coco in her wheelchair outside with Miguel, and I have a picture almost exactly like that with my great-grandma. I was the only great-grandchild she got to see, and I think she died when I was 2.
Wow.
So, like, I knew immediately, like, that I was going to connect with this movie. So.
Whoa. Yes.
I've been, like, taking everything in and then telling everybody about it so they also appreciate it.
So... obviously, you were the only person to have on for this episode.
Yes.
Also, what is your connection to Disney beyond Coco?
I've been going to Disneyland since I was 2. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize not everybody got to do that, but like once a year during the summer, my parents would take me. In 7th grade, I got to go for Magic Music Days with my middle school band.
Wait, I'm sorry. What is that?
Oh, so sorry.
Slow down.
It's called Disney Performing Arts now, so they do like dancing and like, you know, if you're walking through the park and you see like a weird like marching band like passing through.
Yeah, okay.
So they have programs where they bring you backstage and you get to like record music at a sound studio and... So I got to see behind the scenes, like, oh my gosh, people work here.
Wow, yeah.
So since then, like, I've been super obsessed with Disney.
Sound studios backstage?
Yeah, I think they're going away now because of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. But
Are the sound studios literally just for that program?
Well, they have like rehearsal studios for like all the dancers and for auditions. Mm. But since like 2000, yeah, it's been a while. Like I've been taking everything about I'm more of a fan of the parks, like the movies I'm a fan of, but like I'm a super fan of the parks.
Got you.
And so I would like read message boards and like they would take pictures of like the construction walls and like, what do you guys think is going to happen?
Wow. Oh, so you're like in.
You're like a Nancy Drew.
And then I got to work at Disney.
Version of a Nancy Drewby?
Yeah. Sergio Lopez.
Yeah. That's who it was. And then I got to work at Disney World in 2008. I did the Disney College program.
Ooh, where'd you work?
I worked on Main Street at the Magic Kingdom. So, and then all the college program people have the crappiest shifts. So I would work like 6 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But it was cool because I got to see parades and fireworks every night, so I made up for it.
Wow. And so have you been to Disney World as well as Disneyland?
Yes.
Since then, I've only been like once in like 2009. I prefer Disneyland. Sorry, Rachel.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Actually, that's a hot take.
Disney World is a good escape if you want to leave reality because it's like the size of San Francisco. So like when you're in Disney World, you're in Disney World.
Yeah. Wow.
But I think there's more quality versus quantity at Disneyland.
I don't
think
so.
I'm leaving.
Disneyland really are.
That's not what I heard from my friend that just went for the first time to Disney World.
Oh, really? Everyone I talk to says Disneyland cast members are not as great as Disney World.
Park debate.
West Side, Rachel. Okay.
Park debate.
But like all of my friends that have come over here that have never been to Disneyland before, they all ended up really liking it. Mm. So it just depends on what you want in the park. Like I just felt like when I worked there, it's changed a lot since I've been there. It's been like 10 years. But when I was there, I was like, everything is so outdated. Like all of Epcot was still from the 1980s when I was there.
Well, they're changing that.
I know, it's all changing.
I think they just have a problem with changing it because so many people love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're just replacing the fireworks show at Epcot after like 30 years.
Illuminations is great.
And everyone is freaking out about it, Oscar. Like, do they Disneyland, not we get like spoiled with new things every year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah,
that's the thing about Disney World is it's the one place where people go for their, if they're having one Disney vacation, they go
they
there.
They like instill it because they're like, be nice to people because they've saved up for 10 years to bring their kids this one time.
Whereas Disneyland is mostly like locals.
It's heavy locals.
It's a casual thing.
Yeah, so that's why they're able to change things. Like Haunted Mansion is able to be Nightmare Before Christmas during like Halloween and all that stuff. Because I remember in 98, they changed the castle, the Magic Kingdom, to a cake. And it was a huge deal.
In Disney World?
Disney World. They changed it to the pink birthday cake. And
people
were
like canceling their weddings because they could see it from the wedding.
It was a huge deal.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
No.
It was ugly. They actually like painted parts of the castle pink. It was like Pepto-Bismol pink.
Okay, I need to see. Okay.
Beautiful.
Just look up WDW 25th anniversary.
Cake castle. Just like... Cake castle. It seriously is my favorite thing in the entire world. And we keep joking that they're like when they were repainting the Disneyland
Yeah. Oh my goodness. This is worse than I imagined.
It's so good.
Ew.
When they were repainting the Disneyland castle and it was gone for like months or whatever, I was like, I bet they're making a cake castle. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I love it.
And then that's the other thing I hated when I worked there. Like, they had the ugly wand on Epcot, the Spaceship Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ugly
gone.
Hat at the studios. Yeah, I was so happy when those were finally torn down.
Oh, I think it's fun.
No,
I didn't like the
tacky.
Hat.
That's why I hate Disney World. I don't hate Disney World. I like Disney World. Okay. But I just wanted to do better.
Wow.
Ooh, I want
controversial.
Cake castle is fun.
I love the cake
castle.
It's like
Candyland. Yeah.
But if you're going, if you're paying
if
like
you're
$6,000 for
your
family
to
go to Disney World for like one day.
And on your one trip, you were lucky enough
to
get
see the
to
cake
see the
castle. I know,
no,
right?
No.
Come on,
this
everybody gets
this feels like
to
a weird
the
franchise.
Castle.
The number 25 is so garish on that dang
cake.
It's
a celebration.
I really hope they don't do another tacky castle for the 50th.
I hope
they're not. No, they would never. They learned their lesson.
I thought when they stole Disneyland's 50th anniversary that their castle was ugly, but that was just me.
What was the castle in the 50th?
They just put ugly characters on the castle and it was like frilly gold and no.
Wait, we can look this up. Wait, sorry. 50th Disneyland
this is
castle?
I didn't mean to turn this to park talk. That's where
it's a big part of this podcast.
We can turn it into a mini episode.
Yeah, this could be a mini episode for real.
Disneyland.
No, Disney World.
Oh, Disney World.
And then that's the thing. Like, people that only went to Disney World once a year, they thought it was Disney World's 50th anniversary. And, like, the Disney company made it a whole thing. Like, oh, we're giving gifts to all the parks for Disneyland's 50th anniversary.
Interesting.
All
right, let's
wait,
take a look.
Wait, is it this?
Yeah, and they put the ugly mirror. It was like a highway billboard
oh,
in front of the castle.
Oh, yes, the cake castle. Rachel has a photo of her family with the cake castle.
I do like this. I do like this castle.
I mean, it's better than if you compare it to the Pepto-Bismol cake.
I think it's just fun to change things up. Why not?
Yeah.
But you can't do it at Disney World. It's too. People are too invested.
They're too invested.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know how many people are upset about Epcot right now because of all the changes they're making.
Hey, I mean, okay, I went to London and Big Ben was covered in tarps, but I wasn't refunding my vacation.
Oh,
over
I did.
It. You refunded my vacation.
Well, technically, Big Ben is the bell inside the tower.
But I couldn't see him. I couldn't see anybody.
No one could see him.
I didn't see anybody because there were tarps.
I'm sorry.
Also, the Eiffel Tower had construction around it. So, ooh, bad time to go.
Bad time for Europe.
Except not because I didn't throw a fit.
Yeah, but then you when you went to Disneyland Paris, Phantom Manor was down.
That's true. And I also didn't throw a fit.
But that's.
But
great.
You're
that's
a sensible person, Rachel. Yeah. I learned when I worked there, that I was told by my trainer, Sergio, people will leave their brain at the front door, so you have to make up for it.
Oh, wow.
Because people will ask, what time is the 3 o'clock parade?
Where's
the other Mickey at?
But what they're asking, though, is when is it going to show up? Because it starts at one end of the park and comes down.
And working in merchandise, we would be like, where's the thing one and thing two shirts?
Oh,
and I'm like,
that's universal.
There's so many people that were when I went to Disneyland that were dressed in like Minions cosplay that I was like different world
bad
entirely
wrong franchise. Well, I mean, I know people who come inside from outside then ask what the temperature is like outside.
One of my funniest sorry to sidetrack again, but one of my favorite books that I used to read when I was younger, they were called Mouse Tales by David Koenig. I think they're still available. And he would like acquire all these stories from cast members, and there was one it was like a guy working on Main Street and it started to rain. And this woman walked up to him and was like, can you do something about this rain? And he had like one of those little like flashlight cones that they drag traffic with. And he's like, oh yeah, right away, ma'am. Hey, Gary. And he like put it up to his ear. Can you turn down the rain a little bit, down to like maybe 10% for a minute? And she went, thank you so much.
Oh my God.
So if you want more stories like that, check out Mouse Tales. Yeah.
People really think you can control the weather at Disney.
Mm-hmm. Anything is possible.
Anything
can happen. No, different.
Anything is. What? What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
What? Legos aren't Disney? Well,
speaking of music.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I want to, actually, Claire, I want to ask you, like, what this voice cast, was there any, tell us about this voice cast in this movie.
Benjamin.
Just Benjamin?
Benjamin.
Cher, Madonna.
Brett?
Benjamin. Right?
Benjamin Brett.
And then.
So Anthony Gonzalez is Miguel. Gael
he
Garcia
was also on the cruise.
Bernal as Hector.
Came out and sang
Benjamin
song.
Bratt as Ernesto de la Cruz.
Yeah.
Alana Ubach is Mama Imelda. Renee Victor as Abuelita. Ana Ophelia Murguia as Mama Coco. Edward James Olmos as Chicharron. Cheech, you know, the old guy who fades away. Alfonso Arau as Papa Julio. Selena Luna as Tia Rosita. Diana Ortegi as Tia Victoria. Herbert Siguenza as Tio's Oscar and Felipe. Oh, a twofer.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, or maybe it's Jaime, I don't know. Camille as Papa. Sofia Espinosa as Mama. Luis Valdez as Tioberto. Lombardo Boyar as Plaza Mariachi. And then it kind of goes down.
Who's John Ratzenberger?
Oh, John Ratzenberger is, what's
Juan
his
Ortodoncia.
Name? Is that his name?
Yeah.
The guy who checks his, or whose dentist remembers him in the ofrenda.
And, fun and he fact, only it's the dentist's office from Finding Nemo.
And his only, it's his shortest Pixar role. His only line is, gracias.
Fine. What I do like about this cast is that it's a bunch of brown people.
Yeah, baby.
And the director said he went from the outside, wanted an all Latino cast. And funny enough, this movie actually started with a controversy. This Pixar film has the record for the longest production time because they started in 2011 and they didn't finish it until 2017.
Whoa.
So probably some white dudes in legal, because they're trying to get ahead of the ball, they heard about this Dia de los Muertos movie and they decided to file a trademark request for Dia de los Muertos.
Wait, what?
So all of Mexican Twitter was all up in arms about it. And so Disney had to take a step back and say, okay, we're not going to trademark this. We're not going to call it Dia de los Muertos.
How I think audacious.
Yes. What? It was Dia de los Muertos originally, even though, isn't it actually Dia de Muertos?
It depends on what region you're from. So it's either Dia de Muertos or Dia de los Muertos.
So that's why they say that in the movie. And then they're like, okay, yeah, that's ridiculous. We're going to call it Coco. Although in Brazil, they had to change the title because Coco is very similar to the
poop.
Brazilian word for poop, so that one's called like Viva or something like that.
And then the original story wasn't even this story, it was very Americanized.
Yeah,
where
it was about
Lee Unkrich had made up a story that it was like a half white, half Mexican kid from America,
huh. Mm-hmm,
whose mother died at birth, I'm assuming, or when he was very young.
Oh, the Disney treatment, yes,
and so the mom was Mexican, so they had to go to Mexico to like meet his other side of the family.
Oh.
But then Lee Unkrich took a step back, I just read, and he was like, wait, this is like showing that we're coming at this from the wrong point of view. Like, we're coming at this from, like, white people, but we want to tell a Mexican story. So then they changed it.
Yeah.
And they, brought thank more
goodness.
People
they actually, this is the first time they had to bring outside people. They had, like, a cultural consultant group, I'm assuming. I follow one of them on Twitter, Lalo Alcaraz. He's a comic artist.
Mm.
And so the first time ever in Pixar history, they brought in a group of people because they show the screenings of the movie in progress, like, every 12 weeks. So they brought in those outsiders to, like, show them what they'd been working on. And, like, little things, thanks to their, you know, criticism of the movie, would make it better. Like, one of the big things that was changed was his abuela, when she runs into the mariachi plaza, she had the chancla in the movie. Originally, it was just going to be a wooden spoon. So somebody said, I think it would make more sense. Funny.
Fun.
Because they also work in a shoe shop that she would hit.
Yeah. With, oh yeah. With for sure.
And there that, and that's like a thing, right? Hitting somebody with a shoe.
All, every Mexican kid knows the chancla.
Every Latinx person knows the chancla, chancleta.
There you go. See,
I'm it's just very good. Real, very real.
So we didn't really even get into lots of Bare Necessities. We got the budget was $175 million, and it made $807 million at the box office, and it made so much money so quickly, especially compared to what was right before it, which was Cars, which we know didn't.
Oh, Cars 3.
Cars 3 didn't do great. We already talked about his 19th film, and I think, Sergio, you covered a lot of this stuff. So.
Yeah.
It was, at the time, the highest grossing... It still is the highest grossing animated movie of all time in Mexico, and it's only second to Avengers Endgame. It just got dethroned as the highest grossing movie ever in Mexico. This movie brought people out in droves in Mexico. Like, I loved seeing all these stories. I think Lee Unkrich retweeted a lot of them, but like, there were people that were like living in villages that had never been to a movie before.
Oh my gosh.
And there's just like a picture of like really old, like shriveled up Mexican people like seeing a movie for the first time. It's just so cute. And you know, they
just
get to
say
see
seeing
their
a movie for the first
seeing
time.
Seeing a movie. They'd never seen a movie. They're like, what?
It was
this.
Coco.
It was Coco.
Woo.
Wow.
So they had to get on board with the animated thing real quick.
Very quickly.
Oh, this is, yeah, that's so fun.
That's so amazing.
So
you like this movie a little
bit.
Yeah.
I
like it. Yeah. So let's jump into it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about it. Coco.
Coco. Starts with narration.
Yes. We see a lady lighting a candle at an altar in a graveyard. Miguel tells a story about his great-great-great-grandpa, I think, three greats,
mm-hmm.
who was a musician, and we see the story being told on the paper cutouts. What's it called?
Papel picado.
Thank you, which means, like, poked paper or something.
Yeah.
And
it's really beautiful.
It's so beautiful, and it's just this kind of, like, 2D thing we got going on.
Cool.
And he basically abandoned his family to be a musician. So from the get-go, we've got sort of, like, a villain as a family member, in a way. But he's this kid's hero because the kid, we find out, loves music, even though then great-great-great-grandma had no time to cry, and she had to raise her daughter named Coco, and instead she banned all music.
And she started a shoe business.
Yeah, she had to provide.
This is very reminiscent of, like, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How, like, now
Stained
it's a return
glass.
To form of the golden age of Disney, I feel
yes,
like.
Yes, we tell the story in a beautiful art form.
So. Yeah. It's, like, very, very reminiscent of that.
I like when he's, like, depict shoes. Could have been candy. Could have been shiny underwear for...
The wrestlers.
Yeah.
The wrestlers. Yes. And it's done in a really clever way where we are introduced to the culture a little bit through the perspective of Miguel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're able to see the piñata, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, candy. And then, like, the Mexican luchador, like, underwear. And so it's, like, done in a clever way that isn't ham-fisted, which I really appreciate, especially when you're... Because, you know, like, I don't know about how you felt when all of this was happening, but for me, I was like, oh boy. I was, like, very nervous about Coco because, you know, the Song of the South happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this
is a different
time. Well, and also, I feel like
it was a different time.
We're also so used to seeing movies like, okay, well, here we go, another Dia de los Muertos thing. Where they're like, this is the thing. This is the one thing that we know about this culture. But it's like, it's not, because you're right. They address so many other parts of culture.
Well, and ultimately, it is like a fairy tale story, which Disney does really well. I mean, Pixar doesn't really do very well.
Well, it's funny that because this movie was the first time they've had music in their movies that are sung by the characters, because famously, John Lasseter, he was famously like quoted as saying, like, oh, Disney does like the fairy tale stuff with like the I Want songs, but... You know, we don't want to do that in our movies. And this time, there wasn't originally music in the movie. Like, Miguel was just going to play guitar.
Mm.
And Anthony Gonzalez, when he went in for his audition, he wanted to sing for the directors. And that's when they knew, like, oh, well, if this kid can act, well, he can sing.
I mean, can he sing?
Yes.
Yeah.
This kid is, like, unreal. And very true to the tone of, like, the Mexican mariachi, like, was so
authentic.
He sings
in Alvera Plaza in L.A. with his brother.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away.
And he sang on the Disney
I feel really bad for him because he was just at D23 and they've had to replace him with his brother for all future like Coco's. He's
52 now.
Yeah.
This movie came out.
So at D23, like him and his brother sang Remember Me and they would like switch off. So you would hear like older Miguel and like young Miguel.
Oh, and by the way, Remember Me was written by Kristen Lopez or Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who we know from Frozen and also The Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, their biggest credit.
Right. That's right.
And the score was by Michael Giacchino, even though they did want to have a Latino composer, but then they just paired with him again, but then they did have a lot of musicians involved.
Mm. I enjoy his score. It's one of my favorite movie scores ever. So
any
I'll let it pass.
Awards Coco won?
Oh, yes. Baby.
Do you want me to
you're ready to go.
It won the Oscar for Best Feature for Animated Movie and for Song for Remember Me.
Ah, okay. So,
So that's when Bobby Lopez is finally an EGOT because he already had an Emmy, a Grammy, and a Tony.
Okay, let's see. Wow. Emmy for.
It was something for PBS.
Okay.
Tony for Avenue Q.
Yes.
Oh.
And Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon.
Oscar for this.
And it was a Grammy for, I think, Book of Mormon.
Okay.
It's like so many of them overlap. Is it really that hard?
Wow, Claire. Wow.
Is it really that hard?
I keep saying Tom Hanks, you gotta make a That Thing You Do musical, and then that soundtrack will win you your Grammy.
Is that the only thing he's missing?
He's missing his Tony and his Grammy.
Oh, Tony. Yeah. Oh, okay. See,
Put him on a play for
6 weeks. He'll win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Truly, it's up to him if he wants it.
I don't know.
Get on it, Tommy.
Tommy
boy, let's get it.
There should be a Tom Hanks musical just like goes through all the movies of his life.
I'll write it.
Starring Tom Hanks. He's got to be in it, though.
Yeah,
you can be Rita.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rita.
I'll be Elizabeth, his daughter.
Oh, I was like, Elizabeth Warren?
Yes, Elizabeth Warren is in it.
She should be. She should be in everything.
Let's rewrite Forrest Gump, but put it in nowadays.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway, we're getting off track.
Coco.
I like when Miguel is wrestling and you see Mama Coco also.
Luchadora Coco.
She's so cute. She reminds me of my grandma.
She's really sweet. Yeah.
I had a grandpa that died from dementia and Alzheimer's. Sorry. Bring it down.
No, it's very cute
that he still tries with his abuela.
Yeah. No, it's amazing too because I love how her facial expressions are so real too. Yeah. And then like spoiler alert, but like toward the end, like the little subtle movements, like that's what, okay, we know I'm not a crier, but that's what starts to get me is when you kind of see her start to light up again.
I cried from that moment.
I made ugly whale noises the first time I got to see an advanced screening and I was like the whole time.
So the mom has to provide. She has a shoe factory.
Yeah.
And
everyone makes shoes.
And now we're in present day and Abuelita runs the house like her mother. No music. Mother or her grandmother? Grandmother.
Her grandmother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her grandmother. No music. And Miguel loves music.
Yeah.
Despite being
it's
banned.
It's interesting
from
it. To me how this narrative doesn't it's not the mother and the father, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like the great grandparent and the grandmother. Yeah, so, and that, you know, communicates with like Latinx families are huge as hell and they all live together and they're like closely related. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate the fact that the parents took sort of a backseat in the narrative scope.
Yeah. It's really cool. Also, I think it's interesting too because it's like they had to be like, okay, how far back do we have to go for the story for it to make sense with what we're doing as far as like remembering people and like passing down, you know, certain family members? Because like great, great, great is far away. I don't know any of my family members that far away. We don't remember any of them. That's so sad. Oh, gone.
No, I remember all of them because I have an Ancestry.com account.
But for them, you have the ofrenda, which is, you know, like sort of an, what do you call those things?
Altar?
Like an altar for all of your lost relatives, you know, which is.
And you put their pictures
like
on.
Treats and pictures and. They're marigolds, right? The flowers.
Cempasúchil.
yes.
So, because of Ernesto de la Cruz, So Miguel loves him because he was a nobody who made people fall in love with him when he played music. And so Miguel feels this connection to him. He's like, I love playing music. I could be somebody.
Not only that, he like started in the town square.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what made him popular.
Very so he's like, similar. Oh. So he was in movies. He like wrote the best songs, like Remember Me. And he died because he was crushed by a giant bell in one of his performances.
So funny.
So funny and weird.
It's such what a weird... weird choice for a Disney movie where you're like, but you're okay with it because like this whole movie is about the afterlife.
I think also they had to make it sort of silly because otherwise it would be too real. Like he died of old age or like he...
Yeah.
Did you see the preview when they used to have it at this at Stuff to Be a Bug Theater?
No.
They showed everything up until he got crushed by the bell and then he exited the theater.
Oh, really?
What? So,
and the movie didn't come out for like another 2 months.
Oh, wow.
So everybody just like walked out like, oh, that's really sad. His idol just got crushed. The end.
I have a logistical question.
Yeah.
When you go to the other side, are you the age you were when you died?
That's what I think. Yeah. Because at the end of the movie.
That's what happened with Coco, spoiler.
So then what about Grandma Imelda?
She was older. She had the
gray. Oh, that's true. You're right.
But people didn't live that long back then. So she was probably like in her 60s, 50s. Yeah.
Okay, you're right.
Which is also 22. Really sad later when you see the mom working with the little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's yes, exactly.
Very sad.
Yeah, so it makes sense
that...
You don't
think about that.
No, so it makes sense De La Cruz is kind of like in his prime.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, Hector's also like youngish.
Mm-hmm.
So Miguel's been... We pull back and he's like telling a story to a mariachi and he's shining his shoes and that guy's like, you should sing, like be a singer, why not, there's a competition for Dia de los Muertos, like seize your moment, which is Ernesto's big saying.
Yeah, it's written on the town square with his statue. Very much. Didn't he remind you of like Vicente Fernandez? Like that.
Yeah, part of the inspiration was like Vicente Fernandez, Jorge Negrete, all the old classic. Like the Elvis types of Mexican culture.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because they did it all, right? They were like in movies, they sang songs, they were like sex.
Spoiler, they're also in that scene at the end of the
his party. It was super cool to see like Mexican culture represented in this movie.
I wanted Selena to be in there somewhere. I'm sad they didn't.
Well, apparently there are a lot. I didn't read about her specifically, but Leon Cortez said there are many dead celebrity cameos hidden throughout.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
So, like, of course, there's like a real Frida hidden in there, and like other people they do reference. And then, I mean,
Frida was my favorite.
So fun. So Miguel almost played. But then he she comes
him.
In she's like, what are you doing here, get the fuck out of here, go home. And she acts like as if he's in danger from playing, like that's the her intensity level is like, you will be killed if you
it's
play
like a
music.
Curse
it's a curse.
I don't know if you related to this, Oscar, but it hit more with me last time watching it, prepping for this, but I felt like a lot of me as being like a gay Latino kid, I felt a lot of what Miguel felt, like
especially
the
arts,
and because he has to have this little hideaway for him to like explore his love for music, and like he knows his parents will not love him anymore if they find out he's a musician.
Oh my god, are you kidding me? It was like as a little boy dancer, like keeping that a secret from my parents. Oh, I know that very very
that's
well.
Amazing. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think it is also interesting that it's music, because for me watching, I'm like, why don't they want him to be music? Like, who doesn't like music? This is crazy.
They've heard it's bad.
And so that's
why it's... music is triggering for them.
And so for us, we really take his side, where it's like, I got to do it. I got to do. So we meet Dante the street dog.
I love Dante. He's so cute.
He's got no hair.
I don't love Dante. Is this a controversial thing?
He reminds me of Possum, I think. We have a friend who has like this dog that's not the cutest dog in the world.
No,
but
it's not.
Has
but
character.
Very adorable.
Yeah, has character.
Yeah.
So.
But the Sholo dog's actually like a like spiritual, like Mexican culture, like the Sholo dog was a dog that helped people to the afterlife.
That's right.
So that's why they wanted to include him in the movie.
He's cute.
Oh yes, and this is like a particular kind of breed of dog. I think that's like hairless and like loses its teeth and like its tongue dangling is a thing that happens. And so they're like, let's play
all
with that.
Start a Kickstarter to get Claire a Sholo dog.
Yeah,
for her to take care of.
Oh no, I don't like dogs.
Oh no, she said she loves that dog.
Yeah, oh no, 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 him. I think you.
You just need to hang out with one.
Thank you.
It's so lovably derpy though.
Yeah,
like, so derp. Unbelievable.
I don't know.
It's better than a hey hey. Right?
There was like something.
Oh,
something.
It's very much in the same school.
Like yeah. I see what they're doing, and like something about it doesn't charm me in the way that. I think they want
like
it.
How
you're a cat
it
person.
Is.
We get it. Me too.
The Dante plush do sell out at the Disney store, Claire.
So. Well, they make Dante plush?
I'm not
there's
denying.
There's regular Dante
hey.
And then there's Alebrije Dante.
No. Like, I'm not denying. Like, I understand he is Alebrije. Beloved. I'm just saying.
You don't get it.
I don't get it.
Yeah, fair.
That's fine.
Anyway.
Very fair.
So, Grandma Abuelita, like, tattles on him. Not tattles, but, like, tells everybody. She was like, he was in the square. He was in Mariachi Plaza. He was trying to play music. And she's like, he's like, I want to go to this competition. And she says, no, tonight's about family. You have to stay with us.
Oof, that's so, like, that's so tough.
Yeah.
To be, like, because it, I mean, she's right in a weird way of like family we have to be together
like the it's one like, night too right
but I was like that too when I was younger I'd be like I want to play Nintendo I don't want to go to my Diavirina's birthday party
yeah the older you get I think the more you realize family is important but when you're young it's not that
yeah
I remember as a kid I was like you guys suck I want to go over to my friend's house they have better food you know what I mean
yeah that's what you sounded like as a
yeah,
kid
yeah that's me I mean that's how I sound now but it's a little bit deeper, you know. I went through puberty just like.
Before we leave the plaza, did you guys notice the piñatas?
No.
There was Buzz and Woody piñatas.
No.
And Mike and Sully.
Why are you better at this than I?
I thought everybody knew this, and then
I did read it, but I didn't.
When Miguel's see them. Running by in that first scene through the plaza, there's the table of Alebrijes, and there's like the whole cast of Finding Dory,
what?
Like Destiny and Bruce. And,
what?
Okay,
Bruce.
we gotta watch that again.
This needs
Bruce.
To be real things.
Sorry,
so
need to
that
watch
I can
it.
Buy
there was
the
I felt so proud of myself when I saw the Pizza Planet truck.
Yeah, I know. Like, I too.
Yes. Okay. Playing here it is.
Can I tell you they should sell the Pixar versions of those at the Mexican Pavilion at Epcot.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah. There you go. Disney.
Is Epcot just not doing international stuff anymore?
No, they
well, they
are.
Have a Mexico pavilion, yeah. Which is rumored to be changing to be like a Coco pavilion, which
yeah.
I hope it is.
Yeah.
Because the three Caballeros right is meh.
I see.
I like the Mexican, but also it's that thing where I'm attached to it.
Yeah,
and so I don't want to touch it. Also,
but isn't Coco also Mexican pavilion? Would it be? What's
they
the
do have like a mini Coco show like we do now for Halloween time at Disneyland through October, November something. Check your local listings.
Check your
local
listings.
Ours is better than the Disney World version.
I haven't seen it either.
They just have like four mariachi and like two folklorico dancers in Florida.
Oh.
And then the weird Miguel puppet, which you can now meet as well at Disneyland. I just
I'm
met
sorry.
Him yesterday.
Did you say puppet?
There's a weird, so there's a guy wearing a serape and like a Mexican cowboy hat, and then he has like a Miguel attached to him, so he like walks around in front of him.
Okay, I need to see this. Okay, I need to see this.
So they make an ofrenda so the ancestors can come back, and we learned that as long as someone's photo is up, that person can cross over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important that your photo is up there.
Yeah, but then the photo falls because Dante knocks it over.
Friggin' Dante!
Yeah.
What a fucking idiot.
Wow. But then that's when he realizes the photo is folded and he sees the guitar.
Because it's a photo of Mama Imelda Coco when she's a little girl.
She's so cute.
And then, yes, there is a man who has been folded out who's head has been ripped off, so we don't know who, and the guitar that Miguel has been playing.
The Cruz's guitar.
Cruz's guitar. Sorry, wait. He plays a different one. The one that's hanging.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh my God, Ernesto de la Cruz is my great-great-great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I understand how he would come up with that decision.
Yeah.
It's a very specific looking guitar.
Yeah.
Very cool looking, by the way.
It's his famous guitar.
It's got like a skull on the end of the fretboard. It's really cool. I don't want to come apart.
So then that's when he gets super cocky and he's like, ah! My great-great-great-grandfather was Ernesto de la Cruz. I'm going to be a musician, too. You can't stop me.
Hell
and
yeah.
They do stop
and
him.
They do stop him.
Well, he goes to his little altar, which you guys are talking about, or his, like, he has, like, an altar to de la Cruz in his little hideaway, and it's, like, really involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a TV up there. He learns to play from the TV.
Mm-hmm. Plays really well.
And then the little sketchy looking guitar that he plays is actually a drawing from Lee Unkrich's son.
Oh.
So they scanned it into the system and
made it. That's really cool.
And then also fun fact, they actually, if you watch the fingering of the chords of the guitar, it's actually the correct chords. Really? They recorded somebody playing guitar to those tunes. So that would be correct. So nobody
could learn to play guitar by watching Coco.
You could.
And following. If you really
wanted. Oh, wow.
So in the interview that De La Cruz is saying, he talks about how he went for his dream. And so this is why Miguel's like super jacked. He's like, okay, this is
I gotta go for it.
Oh, sorry. And then the thing knocking off happens. So sorry. We skipped ahead a bit, but now we're back. We're back. So he thinks his grandpa is De La Cruz. Sorry. The family has found Miguel's musical stash and
they crush it.
Yeah, and that's when he runs away. Guitar.
Claire is so stressed right now. Yeah,
I mean, it's really upsetting.
It is.
Smashing someone's guitar? That's fucked up.
But he runs
because they think it's the devil.
Yeah, yeah, they legitimately think it's a curse. Yeah.
So he runs away. And
but then he can't enter into the competition because he doesn't have a guitar. And they're like, find a guitar and then you can enter. And that's when he goes around and asks Saint.
Oh, right. And everyone's like, no.
No. And that's when he's like, wait a second. I know where I can get a guitar.
A shrine. I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
a
his
shrine.
Actual guitar. Yeah. In his shrine.
A crypt.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mean the mausoleum where he's buried?
Yes. So he breaks in.
Yeah. And it's fine because he's family.
Oh, yeah. It's totally fine. He's like, sorry, Grandpa. I'm just going to borrow something of yours real quick. Break in. He takes the guitar off the wall. And as he strums it, there's like a whoosh of golden petals that surrounds him. Yeah. And it's very beautiful.
And then he ends up on the other side.
Oh, my God. And so...
some guy walks right through him.
Because like a man comes in with a flashlight because they know it's been broken into. But yeah, Miguel's a fucking ghost.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He runs out and he sees all these skeleton people.
Skeleton.
The first one that pulls him, because he falls into a grave.
Yeah.
So the first one that pulls him out is they wanted it to be La Catrina, which is like a very iconic, like in folk art in Mexican history.
Yeah, it is the...
So La Catrina pulls him out. And
wait a second. That just reminded me. There was another Dia de los Muertos movie called The Book of Life. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I watched it. I wasn't a fan of it. The character design was ugly.
I forgot about that movie.
That was... okay, so that was another thing I argue with people about. Because when they announced Coco at D23, people were like, why do we need another Dia de los Muertos movie? But like, how many Christmas movies are there? Like,
too many.
There doesn't have to be just one Dia de los Muertos movie.
No.
And then Book of Life... while it was cool, I guess, like, it wasn't really people. It was, like, little toys that people were, like, playing with that were, like...
wait, which one?
Book of Life.
Oh. Yeah,
I didn't like the, like, circle nose.
It had a weird look to it.
This is very based in reality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so then Miguel is just, like, frantically, because, I mean, I would
ghosts.
Be, too.
Yeah.
Because we're straight up in the graveyard. It is the nighttime when all the guys are crossing over.
They can come once a year.
They can come once, just like Halloween Town.
Yeah.
Just like Halloween
Town. This isn't a Halloween movie, Claire. This isn't Mexican Halloween.
But this is just like Halloween Town.
Where
they
can come,
once
once
Kimberly
a year.
J. Brown, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wait, this movie is also just like Halloween Town. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's
been a while.
Anyway.
He runs into his family. And they're like, what are you doing here, Miguel?
Yeah. Well, he runs into his immediate family.
Yes.
They don't see him.
Yeah.
But then he runs into his deceased family.
Yeah, his ghost family.
And they're then, like, you're half dead.
Yeah. And this is why What's-Her-Face can't cross over.
Oscar and Felipe come running. And they're like, Mama Imelda can't cross over.
Yeah.
Oh,
because her photo got
knocked
off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, my family loves me. You're wrong. Let me over.
Yeah, and then she hits, what does she hit?
Huh?
What does she hit? Yeah, in
did
the...
did you notice?
The devil box? What? What
that's where that's what I saw in the vault.
Yeah,
the devil
then
box.
You were like, what?
You were like, what devil box?
The first
that
Apple
computer.
Macintosh
called the devil box.
Oh,
but this is cute when we see people. Oh, when we see the bridge.
Marigold
the,
Bridge.
Yeah. Which
it's so pretty.
Is beautiful. Which, by the way, this is my imaginary. If they're going to change the Mexican Pavilion at all, they need to have it be like Coco, where you can cross over the bridge and then go into the afterlife.
That would be so cool.
And they can have a Coco ride.
Oh, they can have like a cool, like, I don't know how they do, but like a mirror thing where it looks like you're see-through. Uh-huh. Oh. I don't know. You know, some kind of special effect, just like a room.
Yeah, yeah.
They kind of had that on the old Tower of Terror when you, did you ride it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you went to the first floor, well, California Adventure, not the Disney World version. And you looked at the mirror.
Yeah.
And then you turned in like a ghost person, like, and then you disappeared.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
yeah,
could use that cool. technology.
That'd be cool. Oh.
I
they
just
do it.
Feel like Pepper's they could ghost. Make that bridge easily and it would be beautiful and it would light up at night, like the way that Pandora lights up at night.
Oh. Can they do a thing where when you step it lights on? It lights up?
That would be cool, yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to have pictures on the other side, because if you don't, then you'll be swallowed up.
Okay, yeah. So you get your picture taken at the front end. Yeah. So that way someone prints your photo and puts it up at the other end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's a big to-do.
Or you get stuck and you have to live in Disneyland/World.
Specifically okay. that ride.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang. So, okay.
I want them to add something to Pixar Pier for Coco.
Oh.
I think they should so where the Paradise Gardens places, yes. That's kind of like a festival location that they usually use.
Yeah.
I feel like they could change that to be like the workshop, and like they had to turn it into a restaurant because so many people were coming to see Hector's Letters.
Yeah.
Spoiler, sorry. Because now they have the Coco show, but it's only for like 2 months out of the year, and it's very popular. So I feel like it deserves its own like.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
They could call it Santa Cecilia and just like put up the little sign to like the graveyard place.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, another fun fact: Santa Cecilia is the patron saint of music. Mm-hmm. Oh. I didn't know that till recently.
Wow.
So I researched more.
I'm glad I went light on my facts because yeah, I hell knew. Yeah. I knew.
Sorry, I'm annoying. Yeah. People hate me.
So the look of the Land of the Dead is inspired by the Mexican city of Guanajuato, which
Guanajuato,
mm-hmm. which has colorful houses placed on hillsides, and I think this is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love how expansive it is and how colorful it is. So we see this, and we also get to see the spirit creatures for the first time.
They leave little caquitas everywhere.
So
yeah,
cute.
That was very, that truly was, that made me chuckle.
You notice, so the bottom is like all Aztec and like Mayan pyramids, mm-hmm. and they had to keep building on top of it.
Oh.
Build up.
Oh, wow.
It's like
that.
This world feels so, I mean, this whole movie feels like very well conceived, really thought out. Every single thing had so much detail to it. But when you walk into this world, you're like, what the? What the heck?
It is something. And like you said, the story is complex. Like, it takes explaining and like bit by bit.
It kind of does, but it's also, I feel like, super simple in terms of storytelling. Like, once you explain to us the world that we live in, then it just feels like such a smooth movie. Which, you know, I'll talk about this later, but in Pixar, like, that's where it goes from, like, good to bad, you know? Because all Pixar movies, to me, have, like, really tough premises, and the execution can be a little off, but this one feels so easy.
Yeah.
I felt like that.
Well, I guess what it is that there are a lot of reveals in this one.
Oh, yeah.
And so it takes us, like, yeah, step by step. It just kind of takes you through. It guides you nicely, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful.
Like Dante.
Yeah. Like, Dante doesn't guide us anywhere.
But it's interesting.
Miguel's spirit guide.
Yeah.
Well, if you notice, Claire,
Miguel in
when he was in the cemetery.
And then the other fucking guy saves him.
So it just looks like Dante's running around the cemetery. Oh. What he's doing is leading Miguel to his family because he knows that's his family. Because
that's
the shovel dogs
goes,
can cross
Dante,
over.
You knew it was my family all along.
Also, Dante, it's interestingly named Dante because Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
And it's all about going through, you know, the seventh circle of hell and... To me, that's really... Or the underworld, I should say. So I like that Dante was named Dante because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we see Hector trying to come over, but he's denied because he doesn't have a picture.
Yeah. And he's in doing drag. Frida Kahlo drag.
I want to do that as a costume.
Oh, you
should. Hector as Frida.
Oh, it's very funny. And then he's like, oh, come on, let me through. And they won't.
Yeah.
And then that's when they go.
Because he does this a lot.
Yeah. This is like another world customs, I would say.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So they're like, do you have anything to declare? What are you doing?
This
Who are you going?
This is when we see the John Ratzenberger guy who has his picture up at his dentist office.
Because his dentist is very grateful for all
they
that money
him.
He spent.
Yeah, because all of his teeth are gold.
Yeah.
Right?
So, so they like they scan you and make sure that you have a photo on the other side. And
it's
if you do,
cute.
You get to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but then they go to the customs offices because then that's where they bring Miguel because they're like, oh,
Yeah, and they're like, we got to do something with you. We got to send you back.
And then they're like, it's an easy fix. You just have to get your blessing from your family.
And so Mama Imelda, who's angry because her photo is not up, she's like, okay.
You go back. Put my photo up.
Yeah, I'll give you
this. And then also, never do music.
Which is like, wow, what a real pigeonhole he's been put into. Mm-hmm. He's like, to play music. That's like the only thing he wants to go back for.
Yeah, right? He's like, sure. Yeah.
And then immediately goes back because does not listen to
And grabs the guitar and then immediately runs back in. Yeah.
That was a really funny scene. Also, that like little, what was a customs man being allergic to Dante?
And then he's like, but I don't have a nose.
It's so stupid. It's like so dumb. It's really dumb. Yeah. Like to have customs and to like modernize
they wanted this world to have like people that they wanted people to have the same jobs they had in their real world.
Yeah.
So like it's a never ending cycle of whatever you're stuck doing.
Oh, I was just like blown away by how into this world I was.
Yes.
I feel like if this was another movie, I'd be like, customs and what? Why? But I was just like, it reminded me of Beetlejuice.
Yes.
And I think it's because it's such a complete world. You could have so many different movies in this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I would see so many different ones. Like what does a dentist's office look like?
Oh,
what does a sewage plant look like?
Well, I don't want to see that.
I don't know. But I imagine there's a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
It's totally Beetlejuicy.
But they don't use bathrooms.
Yeah. Speaking of sewage, Miguel's like, oh yeah, I gotta go to the bathroom. And he leaves and everyone's like, is anyone going to tell him there's no bathrooms in the afterlife? Which, by the way, in my Coco land, there won't be any bathrooms.
Of course. If you want to be authentic, no bathrooms.
Yeah. You have to leave, go to the next country.
Exactly.
So we learn any family member can do this, but the other family members that are with them are like, oh, well, we're not going against her.
Yeah.
But Miguel realizes, Ernesto de la Cruz is my family, so if I go find him, I'll get his blessing. So he runs off to find him.
And that's when he overhears Hector trying to barter his way in by being like, I can get you tickets to Ernesto's show.
He's coming off as such a con man.
Yeah. And that's when he's like, I'm friends with him. Yeah. So then Miguel goes up to him later and is like, hey, since you're friends, can you help me get close to him? Because he's my great, 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 great grandfather.
Yes. Because he was getting interrogated at a police station.
Oh, yeah, there was he was listing off the things that he did wrong, and one of them was faking a unibrow.
Yeah.
He's like, that's against the law. And he's like,
why do they have hair?
They're actually wigs, if you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They are wigs. Yeah.
Because they can't be walking around naked.
Yeah.
Why?
You gotta have
it's
a wig
just like
on.
An accessory, it's like a hat.
They also have eyeballs.
They do have eyeballs.
Yeah. They had to do so much more computering with these figures because they didn't have a system in place to design around bones.
Yeah.
So they had to figure out how to fit clothing on just a skeletal figure.
It was very interesting to see their hips and how the clothes fit
Ernesto's looked so weird.
He walked so funny.
Hector realizes that Miguel's going back to the land of living, so he's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll help you.
Yeah, if you put my picture up.
Yes, because he's like, oh, I can get something from you, so let's go.
Yeah.
And so this is when Imelda calls her spirit guide Pepita to go after Miguel.
Pepita.
How would you describe it?
It's a cat. Well, it's a tiger with
wings and horns, right?
I just learned that a bunch of the other Alebrijes, they save time by using animals they made for The Good Dinosaur.
Oh.
Your favorite movie.
Oh, my God.
Which animals?
I don't
Dinosaurs?
Know. A bunch of the weird extras that they had.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird. Lord.
Your favorite movie.
But everyone's looking for Miguel because he's a person, so he's easy to find. So then they have to put makeup on him to make him look like a skeleton.
How do you have makeup on hand?
He had shoe polish.
It was just shoe polish?
I think
some kind of white.
Well, yeah, what if the white?
Don't you remember your favorite character? You don't licking it and then being grossed out.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what the white is. Clay. Yeah. Trust me.
I want to know what the
white is. No, you don't.
It's cream cheese.
It's cream cheese.
Oh, I didn't want to know
cream
that.
Cream cheese and shoe polish. Can you imagine?
Putting that on your face? Ugh, Miguel's going to break out later.
Here's what I have to say about this makeup. What is it? I want it because it stays on
I've done it before. You got to use Ben Nye theatrical makeup.
Also, you got to powder. You got You know what, the clown.
You gotta use some setting powder. Let it bake.
You know the clown trick.
Also, Miguel is a little kid, so he doesn't have as many oils on his face.
That is very funny to see that unedited scene where it's like 3 hours of putting on the makeup and then powdering to makeup tutorial.
The clown trick is you put baby powder in a sock and you hit your face with it.
You hit your face.
When you're fat, you.
It's the opposite of whatever makeup Mulan was wearing in Mulan. Easy wipe. This one stays on
You're in water. What if it's the same brand and it's a miracle makeup?
It's a Disney brand.
It's just, it knows when you want it off. And so it's off, but then it knows when you want to stay on.
Sentient
so it
makeup?
On. Yeah, what if it's living?
I'm scared.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it's living.
I'm terrified.
It knows. Oh. Okay, anyway, but you need it.
Yeah.
So Hector explains that they get to cross over and their photos are up. And so De La Cruz's Sunrise Spectacular show is going on, which is like mirroring this other show that's going on up top. And they go, they break into this dressmaker's window and we're in this like art studio where there's like all kinds of different art happening.
This is where Frida Kahlo is having a dress rehearsal and Ernesto De La Cruz is supposed to be there, but he doesn't go to rehearsal.
There's also someone who's doing like art based off of a live model. Yeah. Yes. There's like
a nude model.
I think it's so funny that Miguel sees her and it's like,
he's
not seeing anything.
But she doesn't react at all. She's just like, whatever.
It's also weird how the skeleton's bones are like different shapes and sizes. Like you can tell like the size and shape of someone's body, even though it's just
by
their
the bones. Yeah.
Well, that's what Cartman says right on South Park. He's big boned.
Yeah, I guess it's real.
Did you notice that I guess Hector has lost multiple of Ceci's dresses? Because she's like, did you lose my dress again?
Oh, yeah.
So I want to know. I want to see Hector's drag closet.
Every year he tries to dress as a woman.
I very much got into that vibe of like, Hector like really likes experimenting with
gender. He's great with makeup. Costumes.
He's a good songwriter. We'll find out later. But he's a better drag queen, I think.
He convinces someone later.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. So
Frida even refers to Dante as the mighty Xolo, the spirit dog.
Yeah.
And Ernesto, again.
I love when she goes over her
her
performance.
Routine.
Papaya. Oh my gosh.
So, good.
So this is based on two different paintings of her. One is like has papayas, another has many hers, The Last Supper.
Yeah.
So what is her performance?
They're all meat. And they're on a cactus that's also me.
And then they all get killed or something like
they
that.
They all drink my tears.
Yeah.
With your milk.
Yeah. And then it should be on fire.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's so great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All the Frida Kahlo scenes are like my favorite. So good. She was such a fun character.
Fun.
And so true to like the idea of, Frida Kahlo painted herself. She loved herself.
Yeah.
Obviously.
But then she's the first person to treat Miguel like an artist.
Yeah.
Because
true.
He suggests music. And
that's
like,
right. She was like,
you have the spirit of an artist.
Aww. Also, because she says yes, you know?
She said she just says yes.
She supports it. She's so cool.
Yeah.
But then of course he's not. Ernesto's not there, so then they have to go to his party.
Yes, he's hosting this beautiful, amazing party.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
But you have to have a ticket, and then they don't have a ticket, but you can win a ticket if you win this like competition.
And we see Hector gets teased because he quote choked on chorizo, but
he says,
"No, I was poisoned.
It was food poisoning."
No, he thinks it was food poisoning.
Food poisoning.
But don't you think that's so sad? He's been down there for 70 years,
and
people think he died from choking on chorizo.
Yeah, they all make fun of him. He's like, So they get
sounds
to
like
this
a euphemism for something.
It's
for
just
what?
Sad
choking
to think
on chorizo.
About.
That's
for what?
Suggestive
of what?
Eating chorizo.
Sucking a dick.
No. I think it's funny in this world. You like know how you died, and that sometimes it's embarrassing.
Oh yeah, like Mama Cass.
Yeah, I feel like anyone would be up.
How did Mama Cass die?
Didn't she eat a ham sandwich?
I don't know.
She choked on a ham sandwich.
Oh my God.
I mean, just imagine Elvis walking around and be like, "Yeah, I died on the toilet, you guys."
He did die on the toilet.
Yeah,
didn't he?
But he OD'd, right?
Yeah,
imagine if you died just because you took a big shit.
People have.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
people
you
die
too much
in
for
all
your body.
People die all the
people
time.
People die in all kinds of ways.
People trip and fall down and die from that.
Oh. Well, anyway.
Anyway, so they go. Yeah, they go to the competition, and Miguel wants to sing "Remember Me," but then he's like, "No, everyone else is." And then it's funny seeing everyone else.
Well, but first, remember he needs a guitar.
Oh,
again. So yeah. We go and we meet Cheech, who's this old guy, and he's very grumpy. He's obviously another person who Hector has like wronged
Cheech,
in many ways.
Short for
you took
Cheech
my V-mark, Hector.
So he starts to fade. He's like fading away, and then. So he's like, can you just play for me? And so
it's
because
if you don't have your picture up, then people will forget you and eventually you'll just fade away.
Yes, like, when you're forgotten by the last person who's living, you fade.
In Mexican culture, there's the three deaths. The first one's when you die, like you take your last breath. The second one's when you're buried. And then the third one's when the last living person forget or dies that remembered you.
So if you never get buried, you never have a second death.
You never
death.
Have to have a second death, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah,
but that's really sad.
That was the importance of
really
that
sad.
Scene to like establish the rules
right.
for Coco.
Yeah.
And Edward James almost said, even though it was a small part, he thinks it's the most important thing he's done in his career.
What about Selena?
That is very important.
Selena,
that's
who?
Second.
He's like, I don't remember that.
Selena's
really sad, but then also I'm like, what if he's going to the same place that Bing Bong is now, and we can just see a movie where
all the dead characters,
all the forgotten people.
It is. It's a similar theme, you know.
Yeah.
Being forgotten is worse than death. Wow.
I mean.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
What?
Forget me. Don't even care.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, Claire's writing the anti-Coco. Caca.
That is poop.
So this is where we learn that Hector is a musician.
Yeah, because he plays guitar for him.
What
is this song, and what is the line that he changes?
Okay, so it's a song about a woman. He's describing
it was a made-up song. I thought it was a real song.
Yeah, because...
But people were saying that her chi-chi's dragged on the floor.
Chi-chi's, yeah. So he changes it to knuckles, but it could have been like knockers or, chi-chi something. So that's
what
the...
What does chi-chi mean?
Like tatas.
Boop-boops.
Boo-boos.
Oh, okay.
Breasts.
Oh, my gosh.
Breastuses.
Nipples.
Oh, gross.
Another
controversy. What does the nipples dragging? Oh,
ew.
Hey, all bodies are beautiful.
Yes,
Lee also had to fight for the taking a shot for Cheech because they didn't want that in the movie.
I see.
So it's the first time someone took a shot in a Disney movie.
Okay, is that one of the things? There were a lot of things in this apparently that were not, that are usually banned by China, but because they thought this movie was so beautiful and important, they
Yeah, they didn't expect it to do as well as it did in Asia, and I think it made more money than all the other Pixar movies combined up to that point.
So he plays that song, and then after the song,
murder and taking shots, and it's only
because they don't like messing with the afterlife.
Cheech, Cheech fades away.
Yeah, it's
sad. Really sad.
It's very sad.
And he's been forgotten. That's the final death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's when we find out memories have to be passed down, and Miguel's like, "Oh, I'll go back and I'll put his photo up. I'll remember him." And like, Hector's like, "That's not how it works.
Yeah.
We just need to pass things down and remember people and blah blah blah."
But hey, guess what? He has a guitar now,
and
now he can perform.
So all of these people, the bands are so funny.
Yeah.
There's like a punk act, a nun act, an opera act, mariachi act, water glasses.
Yes.
But
and they're all Remember
all
Me.
All singing Remember Me.
Did you notice the weird DJ was wearing the Sid shirt?
Oh, yes. The DJ's so
Oh,
funny.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. After he became a garbage man.
Yeah, he became a DJ.
And then he died.
Then he died. Looking like Skrillex.
Everyone's playing Remember Me, but Miguel says, you should sing Poco Loco.
Mm-hmm. Which is his deep cuts.
Yeah.
It's
like a B-side. It's a B-side. Okay, great.
But it's a banger.
I love it.
It's a banger. It's a banger. Everyone loved it.
We also, Miguel's never performed before in front of people.
And this is, Hector is like, what?
He does great, though.
You need to win.
He's great. Everybody loves it. Everybody cheers. Yeah. But then his family shows up.
Yeah.
And they announce that they're looking for a human child, but they don't realize he's been face painted, so he blends in a little bit.
So he tries to leave, but then this is when it's revealed that he has a family, and Hector's like, wait, you have a family here? Just, you know.
Yeah. He's like, you fucking lied to me.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm the one who does the lying around here.
Yeah. And then Coco. Miguel is like, you lied to me. So they both lie to each other.
They fight, and then he throws his photo at him. He's like, I'm not putting your photo up. Bye. Mm-hmm.
Then it blows away, and then Hector runs after it.
So sad.
Only to find Miguel not there anymore.
Yeah. And then this is when Miguel sneaks into Ernesto's party.
Yeah.
It's like so Gatsby-esque. Yeah. It's very cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very, like,
there's a giant pool in the middle of the room.
This party is cool, dude.
He's playing his own movies on the screen.
Oh, my God.
Playing his own music. He's
playing his own music. There's one of, like, the porcupine, like, spirit animals is serving hors d'oeuvres on its spikes. Oh, my gosh.
As a matter of fact, that would be my tattoo time. That porcupine. I mean, what a better image to describe me.
Would you have it with or without the cocktail weenies?
No, with the cocktail weenies. That's who I am as a human being.
A cocktail weenie. The frog bunny.
That was in the line of the forgotten.
Weird frog bunny. Then we also missed a little like monkey one.
Oh, the Frida Kahlo.
Yeah. She loved monkeys.
That shoots out fire and then coughs.
Yeah.
These are so cute.
I would also get the Frida cactus, too.
Oh, me too.
That would be another one of my tattoo times. It was just great. Everything. What I would get a tattoo of literally
just
almost
like the landscape of the
the home on my back.
Just all the buildings, all the layers, like all over your back. Yeah. Oh, so beautiful. Yeah.
But then Miguel starts playing and then...
Bold.
Yeah. Bold and then move. Everyone's watching him, but then he falls into the pool and Ernesto saves him.
And his makeup comes off so it doesn't last.
Yeah,
in water.
It's not water resistant.
Yeah, and this is when he reveals that he's his great 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 grandson.
Yeah,
but Ernesto has a reaction that's so interesting.
I feel like he was gay. He's like, I had a great great grandson.
Yes, yes, oh, yeah.
That is the impression. When I first saw this, that's how I felt. He kind of had the reaction of like, there's no way I could have a great great grandson.
Yeah,
not which obviously
I didn't have sex with anyone. Yeah. I died at first.
Like, any women?
Asexual. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very much like how? But he's like. He's on board. By it. He's like, okay, cool. Right. And they start to like bond at this party.
And he tells everyone. Yeah. He's very proud of
There's like a
Miguel.
Montage of them like playing billiards and
polo.
All kinds of
polo,
stuff.
And then walking through a giant room with all of the gifts that people leave for him.
Ooh, so much food. Yum.
Yeah. And then there was like a whole pile of guitars.
Yeah,
too.
Like a looking like a Christmas tree.
And Hector has snuck in as Frida.
This is funny.
And Cruz encourages Miguel to be a musician. He's like, yeah, you should totally be a musician and stay for the sunrise party. But Miguel's like, no, I have to go home.
Because I'm turning into a skeleton.
You know what else this is like? Little Monsters.
Oh.
Do you remember that movie?
I haven't seen it either.
I think you would love it. It's
really?
Fred and Ben Savage. And Howie Mandel is this monster. And so he starts to turn into Fred Savage starts to turn into a monster. And then they suck you under the bed, which is the monster world. And then if you stay down too long, you start to turn into a monster.
Oh, wow. That sounds like Don't Look Under the Bed.
Yeah. But dare I say, it's much better.
I'm sure.
It was before. And also,
Don't Look Under the Bed was a Disney, was a made for TV movie.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
Larry, is that his name?
The cable guy?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mater, Cars 3. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pixar. Coco.
Yeah. Remy, is that that guy's name?
Yeah.
Remy?
Oh, yeah. Dory? Okay,
Vicky
anyway.
Person. She says that. Anyway.
So, anyway, he's starting.
In the movie.
What'd she say?
Boogie person.
Oh, boogie person.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because she's not a boogie man. She's a boogie person. That's where I first learned, you know? Don't gender things. Anyway.
Thank you, DCOMs.
Yes.
Ahead of their time.
Anyway, so then Miguel shows up, right? And then this is when he's like, hey, you. And
crew. Okay, so... Yes, Hector arrives. He confronts Miguel, saying he's like, "Hey, dude, you promised to take my photo. You got to go back." And Hector says, "De La Cruz took his songs that made him famous after Hector died."
Yeah, a lot happens in this.
And
scene.
This is like so
There's
much
like
to unpack.
A scene from a movie that he's in where it like is exactly like what happened in real life, but in the movie. He takes poison and then realizes it's poison, spits it out. But then it's like an exact thing that happens.
Yeah, he says the same line, basically promising him that they're best friends. So, and Miguel calls Ernesto out because De La Cruz, Ernesto used the line from his movie to convince Hector that they were friends. But that's exactly when he poisoned him, like you said. And so Hector attacks Ernesto. he gets taken away by some guards, and then Ernesto has Miguel taken away and thrown into this big, deep, watery pit. So this
is
when
we're like, oh, Ernesto is the villain of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's turned, yes.
Which I was, like, super excited about.
Yeah, surprise villain.
It's interesting to me because I was like, how are they going to make the guy who abandoned his family a good guy in this movie?
Yeah.
But then they didn't. Mm-mm. Of course not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, this is the first time in a while, if I remember correctly, that we've had a true villain in a Pixar movie.
Yeah. What was the last one?
Because Cars 3, who was the villain in that?
I think Toy Story 3 was the last one, right?
Yeah, which is so long ago. Yeah. And I guess maybe the Pteranodon's in The Good Dinosaur, but...
Oh, right. But not the weather.
Barely there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, this is a guy who was, like, out for blood. Yeah. He's like, I was willing to do whatever it takes. He's murdering a child as well. Yeah. A living child. Yeah. When he's dead, that's like opposite murder. Or what is that? It's like a level deeper. When you are dead.
It's deeper than murder because then you're forgotten about and then you go to your second death.
Wow. Okay. So Hector's down there too.
Yeah.
And he's not doing great. He's starting to fade.
Yeah.
But then this is when they realize that
another
he's...
Mm-hmm.
His great grandfather. Because
Miguel mentions his mama Coco.
He apologizing. He's like,
Coco?
He's like,
Coco.
That was my daughter's name.
Yeah, he's like, my daughter's forgetting me.
Coco.
Why is he saying the name of the movie?
Did you know? That's, yeah, finally we said it.
And he's like, oh, thank God, because I thought my great grandfather was
a murderer. That was very funny.
Very funny.
And so Coco, oh, and it was so sad because he was like, I was always hoping she would put my photo up and that if I never got to see her again in the living world, at least I would get to see her here. And that's another one. I was like,
but she's forgetting him and he's fading away.
Yeah.
And then he sings the song in like a very sad version of it.
So, yes, he says he wrote a song for his daughter and that's
Remember
the song.
Me.
They would sing it to each other.
Yeah. This was tough to watch.
Yeah.
Very tough.
And then these two get so excited and they start like barking and yipping about the fact that they're family. Yeah,
it's called a grito, Claire.
Okay, a grito.
Yeah. I just like the flashback of little Coco singing. Ugh, yeah.
It's so cute.
Grabbing the
Your theory of the cute babies in Pixar movies.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Hey, you want to make us cry? Cute baby.
Cute babies.
And lo and behold, who finds them?
Dante!
And the big guy. The big spirit lion.
Yeah.
And Hector and Imelda get a look at each other for the first time, and they kind of do like a...
Or she does like a... Have they never seen each other in the Land of the Dead?
I know. I was like... It
they had to have run into each other at some point. It
yeah,
seem
but
very
it's very, it's like awkward. It's just like, okay, I used to date this guy. Let's keep walking.
Used to date this guy.
Walk away.
I used to be married
Text
to this
all your
man.
Friends.
We
oh my
have
God,
child.
I ran into him.
We have a child.
OMG, Hector is here.
Dante knew that Hector was his papa the whole time. And Dante is a spirit guide because he fluoresces and becomes beautiful.
In the derpiest way possible.
Oh, so cute.
He sprouts the tiniest wings.
Yeah,
of course, he has to.
Miguel reunites with his family. He tells Imelda the truth, and he says, okay, fine, I'm ready to accept your blessing with the conditions.
Yeah,
and
but
so,
we can't let Hector disappear. We have to go get the picture.
Oh, yeah, we need the picture to put up because he doesn't have a photo
And
of
who
him.
Has the picture?
Fucking
Ernesto de la
How
Cruz.
Did he, what, did he take it?
Yeah, he took it from Hector.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So he says, Miguel says, we don't have to forgive him, but we can't forget him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just like,
I want to forgive you, but I will never... Wait, what is that? I want to forgive you, but I'll never forget. What is
that from a movie?
It's from The Hills.
Oh, my God.
It's
you think you know, but you have no idea. This is The Hills.
No, that's the real one.
That's Diary.
Oh, Diary. Yeah.
This is The Diary. Britney Spears.
They have to all dress up like Frida and go to concert and sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it's like, oh man. I was like, wow, why'd we do this whole scene? And then I see why we do this whole scene.
Yes.
So, she'll help. So they go sneak in the show. And then those two twin brothers, like one rips the arms off the other and starts beating the security with it. This was where it started getting so slapstick.
Yeah.
I would do that if I had a twin brother.
Yeah.
What's weird about that?
So they get the photo, and then Imelda's lifted onto the stage a la Goofy Movie, where she was not intending to be in this show.
She starts singing.
Yeah, she just starts singing, and Hector
Could you imagine?
Her.
I would love to see a clip somewhere where it's that scene in Coco and then the song.
I'm going to go home and do that right now.
Do it. So she sings, Hector plays guitar, and it's very I Love Lucy funny. To me yeah. because she's like singing while the security's trying
yeah,
to catch
she's trying
her.
To run away.
It's very funny.
But then also they're like fighting over the picture yeah. but dancing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then Ernesto pops on stage to join the end, but she crushes his foot and runs away. And yeah. so now Imelda and Hector are bonded.
That means that they feel pain. They have nerve endings.
Okay.
So they're yeah.
These skeleton people have nerve.
I mean,
okay,
the physiology is confusing. So they're bonded again. They're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Imelda gives Miguel her blessing without the musical condition.
Yeah.
She's like, just go back and like remember your family and like be a chill dude. Mm-hmm.
But then Ernesto shows up and he's like trying to ruin the day.
This is so much.
Yeah.
But then one of the aunts, what's her name?
Yeah.
Rosita.
She turns the camera, so everyone Whoa. Watches, and they all find out that he murdered him.
Because mm-hmm. it's being broadcast to this entire audience, and they're at the top of a really like steep ledge kind
yeah.
of thing, and he's like
yeah.
literally dragging Miguel and like about to throw him off
yeah.
of this
does
ledge.
Throw him off.
He does throw him off of the ledge.
But then Dante comes to try to save him, and then of course he doesn't.
Yeah.
He's not able to, but then the big one comes.
Big one comes, yeah. but then the photo is gone.
Yeah.
However, now everybody hates Cruz because he sucks and he's a murderer.
Yeah.
So he goes on stage and everyone just starts booing.
Yeah. yeah. And then he gets thrown to the bell that killed him, basically.
Yeah,
right?
That's very
wow.
funny.
Poetic justice.
Yeah, and then one guy comes out after going to get snacks. He's like, what did I miss?
That was Leon Critch.
Oh.
So technically, two non-Latinos in the voice cast.
That's yeah.
And the band leader was Michael Giacchino.
Oh.
Who is that?
The
band
composer.
Leader for the, oh, the composer.
Oh,
yeah,
Leon
yeah.
Leon Critch, the director, well, co-director, yeah. right? And so... Hector is like super dying now, and Miguel goes home and he ends up
runs to Mama
back
Coco.
To that crypt thing. Yeah, yeah, runs home and
she's
so
like
old.
Out of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's trying really hard to make her remember.
But also, he just makes this huge splash because his whole family's been looking for
yeah.
him. And they're
so
like,
the next morning.
But then, of course, his grandma is like, stop, don't go in there. And he has to lock himself in the room with her because he knows what he has to do and
yeah.
how quickly he has to do it. And so he's like, you have to remember. And then he's like, oh, I'll play for her.
Yeah. And this is when her face starts coming alive.
Yeah. It's like we see her hand kind of twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her expression becomes a little more alive. And
she remembers everyone's names all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I want Mama Coco merch.
Me too.
Where the F is that merch?
I would get a Mama Coco plush.
Mama Coco
in a little wheelchair.
Yeah.
You push her around.
So cute.
Oh,
and it comes with
God.
Accessories like the luchador mask.
Yeah,
that is so bizarre.
Oh my God. That's
so
cute.
The skeleton version of her too. She's cute.
Miguel says that her papa loved her so much. And she's like, oh, I have a bunch of letters from him.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the missing part of the photo. And they put the photo together and they see it's all parent trap. It's the same photo.
Yeah.
And then cut to a year later.
Ugh.
And then,
Mama
oh
Coco's
my
dead.
God! Now this is the first time I saw it. This is where I like really
oh,
let it rip. I was
from
like,
the,
ah!
From the singing, from them singing onward, I was just bawling the
Jesus.
Whole time.
So like, De La Cruz's, or sorry. Hector's home has become sort of like a historical site of
yeah.
like where
mm-hmm.
all those songs are written and
yeah.
all the letters are on the wall. And
it's
like a museum
yeah.
now that has
yeah.
songwriting.
Because in the year, it's been revealed that those letters that he wrote revealed that he wrote all the songs
yes.
and Cruz murdered him.
Oh my God.
Did he write Boca Loco?
Yes. It was about Imelda. They used to sing it to each other.
Fine, I stand.
I love that big the big statue or the big monument that says "Remember Me" is like
forget
you.
Oh, so funny! It's so true about people who are like
canceled.
But also, and it's like they barely took any effort. They didn't take it down. They
no.
just like made a little
but
handwritten.
Again, it is
forget you.
It is
forget
so
you.
Real to when people
so
get canceled.
It's so funny. And like Miguel explains to his baby sister about the ofrenda and like how it works, and then that's when Grandma comes in and brings a photo of
Mama
Coco.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that Miguel's baby sister was named after Coco?
No.
Her name was Socorro, which
oh,
nickname is
yes.
Coco.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
they named
so
her
nice.
After another layer that makes
I
me
know,
cry.
I love it. But also it's like sex. Like, of course she died. She's so old.
Of course.
Yeah.
She held on long enough.
Yeah. But then we see the other side where they're all coming over, and we see Hector is like Coco, and she's like Dada.
I know.
So
and
cute.
If you notice, Hector in the whole movie had like tattered clothing, and he didn't have any shoes on. Mm-hmm. Now he has brand new clothing. Oh. His bones are all nice and neat. And not rickety anymore. And he has a pair of Rivera shoes on. So they've mended the family. So now there's musicians and shoemakers.
Got some bone work done, I see. Okay.
But also, I do have a question. So is Coco now able to speak and be herself in that sense?
Yes. Yeah, she just said daddy.
You just look like you looked when you died.
She's been released from her human condition.
You look like you look when you died.
Yeah.
So well, most of the people in the underworld were young when they died.
Well, for the most part, yeah, people die young.
But most people?
Yeah. Only the good die young.
Da, 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 da.
And that's how the movie ended.
But then we see the party, and we see all the dead people with the living people, and it's so cute.
It's great. And like Miguel Hector grabs a ghost guitar, Miguel singing in his little mariachi outfit. So
and
cute.
And I'm crying.
Everyone's crying.
We're all happy.
Every time I hear that Proud Corazon song, I just cry. Mm. Like I was just at Disneyland watching the Coco show. I watched it twice yesterday, and every time I cried. Especially when there's the mariachi guy and he like bends because the puppet Coco or puppet Miguel is scared to sing, so he like bends down and he's like, I believe you can do it.
Oh my god.
So cute.
The end.
So cute. I love this movie. What's the moral of this movie?
Remember me.
That's the moral.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Don't murder people. But then also, your family comes first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard though, because like not. I mean, I guess family, however you define it, comes first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember your family.
My takeaway is having a crush on a guy will kill him.
What?
Like the guy who killed Ernesto de la Cruz. Swooned and was like, oh, he's so cute. And then the bell crushed.
Having a crush on a guy will crush him.
Oh. Yeah, literally. Oh. So
he really had a crush on
him. He really crushed him.
On you, smash.
Yeah, so that's my moral of the story.
It's just a little crush smash.
Yep. But a little smash.
Yeah, little smash.
Because it's just a little crush.
Yeah.
Remember me.
Sergio, what's the takeaway here? What's the moral of the story?
Always remember your ancestors. Appreciate what you have. I love this movie because growing up, like, I didn't have any representation in mainstream media. Like, I had Tito and Oliver and Company. Like, that was my life. And, like, the only other movie I really ever played for my grandma was The Three Caballeros, and she didn't really care about it, like, because it was mostly in English.
Your grandma sounds like a hard audience.
Yeah,
tough crowd.
Well, until this movie. But, well, like,
but it's also like this is our representation, like that's it. So this had
but
a lot.
I still remember I've been hyper aware of my race since I was in first grade, because in first grade Halloween I wanted to be Waldo because I loved books, so I would always read Where's Waldo. Walking in our little costume parade, I was like all proud of my Waldo costume, and this white guy, this dad, was like, "Well, you can't be Waldo. You're Mexican."
What the heck,
dad?
So like I didn't. And I like all my happiness like went away instantly. I'm like, oh, I can't be this character.
Did you cancel him?
Were you
I
like,
canceled
Waldo's
him now,
not real.
Officially.
Yeah. Waldo's not real, bitch. Who knows if he's white or what?
Yeah like
turns
this
out
is,
that dad was Kevin Spacey.
And like growing up, I was always ashamed of my culture. Like I would hide my dad's huaraches so he wouldn't wear them out to places. And like now I'm like super proud to be Mexican, and like I love mariachi music.
Yeah,
and
be proud of you.
Hopefully for generations to come, like kids will be like, oh, that's like my family.
Yeah. And then you're introducing a bunch of people to your culture. I think that's so cool.
Yes, because as a white person, I'm like, this is tight. Like, I want this.
Honestly, talking to you about this movie, I'm like, I want to rewatch it because there's things I missed. I just didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's cast ourselves. Who would we play in Coco? Da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Okay, Oscar, you're Frida.
Bingo, baby.
Dang, that's a good one.
Sergio, you'd play Miguel.
Aww.
Yeah.
I need to learn how to play guitar.
Rachel, you would play both versions of Coco, young Coco and old Coco.
Double cast, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just sit in a chair.
And then you sit on a bed.
Yeah. Put a mask on me. Oh.
Oh my God, Grandma, Coco in the Luchador mask, like for a Halloween costume.
That is so really funny. That is really funny.
Oh, she's so cute. Oh, I love her so much. She loves
I know it's
dad.
Coming.
I love
I know it's coming.
Wait, is she like I one of your favorite characters in the Disney franchise?
She is now.
And Claire, you would play. Who do you think you'd play?
You're going to say Imelda.
No, definitely not.
That's what I was going to say.
You are Pepita.
Yeah, you're Pepita.
What? Oh, the. Oh.
Oh, yeah, that badass jaguar bird thing.
That bird thing.
That bird thing. Hell yeah, I'm the real Dante, baby.
Intimidating, but also very sweet. The moment Pepita, like, licks Miguel, yeah.
I'm
they find each other. Yeah, of course you are.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're the lots of bare
necessities. And then you turn into a real cat because when they come to the real world, she turns into
the
cat.
That was so cool. How was the shadow of the big
And now I'm just thinking, what does Lady look like when she's...
That is cool.
That's fun.
She turns into Arlo.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
All right, let's rate it.
Yeah.
Let's rate it. Out of five...
Skulls.
Skulls.
Ooh, yes. Out of five sugar skulls. How many sugar skulls do you give? Coco.
Oh, sugar skulls.
I'll go first. This is a 5 movie for me. It makes me cry every time. It's beautiful. It's got a fun story. It also makes me think of my dad. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, hits me right in the feels. Mm-hmm. And I love the music. The music is really good. It's also beautiful. When I see a Pixar movie and it's like, I want them to make a land out of this, you know it's a good world. Mm.
What are some other ones with Pixar?
Well, I want a Monsters University.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, that's right. The whole world is cool.
Yeah.
It's so good. I think about that movie a lot more than I...
Yeah, when I want to be a part of a world, when I want to be part of your world, that means it did a good job. Yeah. It makes me want to live in that movie. Yeah.
I'd say, nice work, Pixar. You did good.
Also, the way that they did it smart, instead of having like this like whitewashed version of a movie, which I would be upset by. I'm glad that they put a lot of thought into it and took the time to release it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sad that it wasn't ready for my cruise in September so I could watch it early. But I'm glad they took the time to really finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we got to go support people of color in movies. So I go. Why I went to see Black Panther. I didn't go watch Marvel movies. I saw Black Panther. I saw Crazy Rich Asians because I wanted to support.
Both of those movies are amazing. So
hopefully in the future, there'll be more diversity.
Crazy Rich Asians is the best movie that's ever been created.
Mm. I'm upset about the current news of something
happened where the director backed out. Anyway.
The writer.
The writer.
She was getting paid less than the co-writer. That was a man.
Oh, white man.
Oh, boy. Ew.
Anyway, but she's writing the new princess movie, Raya and the Last Dragon, which is a Disney movie and it looks amazing. Nice. Anyway.
I'm going to give this a 5 also because it's great. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to me because what you were saying, Sergio, about the beginning of this movie, the original version of Coco was this like...
whitewash story.
Yeah, like a whitewash story being like, we are white and we're going to explain to you what this movie's about. I'm super glad that there was pushback there because this is like Disney, Pixar is learning from Song of the South.
Yeah.
Where Walt Disney finished the movie and was like, hey, WSCP, like, what do you think about it? And they're like, we hate it. And he's like, I'm going to put it up anyway.
we hate it. Thanks for the feedback.
Yeah, bye. So this is... yeah, exactly. What do you think? I wasn't asking for feedback. So this is great. You know, like, this is huge for the Latinx community, mm-hmm. I think. You know, I'm not Mexican, but as someone who is Latinx, culturally, this is very, very important. Because... we're able to see, I mean, here's the thing, like, Latinx population is gonna be the majority very soon. So you're, like, appealing to a huge number of Americans that live in this country, and also and worldwide as well. And just because you're not brown doesn't mean that you can't enjoy. Just because you're not Mexican, you.
I've been watching white movies all my life, and I still like them just as much. You know, I'm not white.
But people are people were so scared. You know what I mean? I mean, white audiences were like, oh, I don't know if this movie is for me or blah blah blah. But it's like, yeah, the numbers don't lie. Like, people love it. All kinds of people love it. Yeah.
And it came out the year after the last election, so they were hoping it would turn the tide for public opinion on Mexican people that were kind of being demonized and shows more of a positive impact that they make on the culture.
Yeah, and I thought, yeah, like, truly, it's perfect, I think, in every single way. You're going back, to me, Coco just feels like a movie that should have been in the golden era of Disney, like in the 90s, I feel like. And then this is where Pixar is like, okay, now we're back. Now we're back in it. Because, you know, we had The Good Dinosaur. And that just was a freaking black smudge in the history of Pixar. But it's good to, and it's good to have music too. Like, oh, we forget about music as a medium
so
to tell
story.
So
much that they're like, let's put that as part of the plot, so it has to have music in it.
I just love
it
so much.
Yeah, John Lasseter. Yeah.
Maybe Merida would have been better if there had been, like, princess songs.
100%. I think literally, like, every Pixar movie would have been better if there was some music to it.
People like musicals.
People like musicals.
Put that thing back where it came from, or so help me.
Yeah.
That's why it's a banger.
It's my favorite.
The part where I cried was at the very end credits, where it was like, you know what I mean? Like, this movie is dedicated to the people.
All the people that
I bawled.
There's like Walt Disney. There's Steve Jobs in there. Because
it's like, oh, this is like the real life implication of what this movie is trying to say. Mm-hmm. And it was just like beautiful. Yes, let's remember our past so then we can move to the future. That's great.
Yeah. It's going to be a 5 for me, dog.
even with Dante?
Right?
That's what brought it over the edge.
It's over a 5, but Dante brings it down to a 5. he's fine. That's the thing with Dante. He's fine. I just don't think he's, like, super amazing. It's just, like, the perfect package. It's just, like, a clean, beautiful, perfect package. It's funny. It's, like, the characters, every time I've seen it, I think 3 times, and every time I've, like, at least teared up a bit, which for me is
that's
like,
huge.
It's pretty big. I mean, I will say it diminishes each time a little bit, but, like, I think it's just the way it's told and the expressions that the characters share with each other is just, like, so real. It, like, hits you in a very human
place.
Which is
crazy because they're skeletons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, I remember, like, the grandma, like, and just the face she makes when she's putting her mama's photo on the altar. It's like, oh. Yes, this is life. It's a circle. Mm-hmm. It's a circle of Coco.
I'm
going
to cry again.
Yeah, I'm surprised I haven't cried, honestly, because anytime I talk about Coco, I cry.
It's your time to review it now.
You can cry now.
I give this movie 5 million sugar skulls. I think it's a perfect film. I think everybody can enjoy it, no matter what your background is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be timeless, hopefully. Mm. And yeah.
Do you think they'll do a sequel?
Oh,
I watched an interview on the way down, or not, I didn't, while I was driving. I listened to an interview, and, you know, well, Leon Critch left Pixar this year, and Darla Anderson, the producer, did too. So I don't know if they'll do an, if Adrian Molina stays, because he was the writer and co-director. I wouldn't want one unless it was like a perfect story that continued, like, maybe Miguel's sister grows up and she gets to go to the land of the dead for the first time. And maybe she wants to do something that's not music, or, well, that might be dumb, but something along
that line. I
would
just love to see the land of the dead. It doesn't even have to be the same family. It could be like a totally different family in the world we already know about. That would be cool.
Yeah.
As long as Frida's there.
Somebody hears Miguel's story and is like, oh, I need to find my ancestors.
Ooh, yeah.
Someone that doesn't know where they came from.
Think they have a family, but then they do.
But I'm grateful because this movie brought me to you guys, and I feel very lucky to be in this room.
Wow! All of your photos are gonna be. Wait, that's a weird thing to say. Never mind.
Wait, what were you gonna say?
I was trying to say something.
Put our photos.
But like, I've befriended you guys. Like, I've hung out with Claire at Disneyland twice now. Like, we went to go see Nicole Byer's podcast on Friday.
Wow.
Friday? Yeah, Thursday.
Podcast forming connections.
Yeah.
Sergio. Rachel, we hung out at the studio.
Yeah. We watched walked around.
So, Joe, people want to connect with you. How do people do that? Where can people find you on the internet?
So, my Instagram handle is actually from Coco. It's Showtime Chamaco,
which I realized as I was watching. I was like, he says it like 10 times
in the movie. It's Showtime Chamaco. And I just started a photography Instagram. So if you guys are in Northern California or I can travel, it's remember.me.photo on Instagram.
Also
a Coco reference.
Wow.
Oh, but I also wanted to set a precedent for future guests that I brought gifts for you guys.
Step up, future guests.
Unnecessary, but so sweet.
I don't know if you guys have this. You can trade it if you guys don't like it.
Rachel. Oh my God.
What? I brought you some Hercules mugs.
Rachel, that's major.
Hercules mugs.
I wanted these, but they were out at the store.
Rachel!
It was that destiny.
That is too sweet.
That's incredible.
For Mr. Oscar, I brought you a set of Pixar pens.
Those are cool.
And oh my God. Inside the box is a Coco mug that you can put them in.
Oh my God, Sergio, this is
beautiful.
Too
and Claire, I forgot which was your favorite princess, but I assumed it was Belle because you have dark hair.
That's one of, oh, for sure, Belle's up there.
And that's the reason.
So I brought you a set of Beauty and the Beast
glasses.
Oh my God,
Sergio. I don't even know
Sergio
what to say.
Sergio with the gifts.
This is so kind.
Do you want to come back
this
next
is so
week?
Yeah. Nice.
Anytime you
Oh my God.
Happy.
This is so cool.
This
Sergio, thank
really
you so much.
Special. Oh
wow, you have really
nailed
changed our lives
wow.
forever,
We're
truly.
I am crying.
Oh my God. Oh my Disney.
Oh, Sergio.
This is so nice.
I'm really glad you guys didn't think I was a freak and it was like creeping on y'all's Instagrams.
No, you're not.
We are a freak,
well,
but you're a
Disney freak.
Because this is like, we do love when people reach out and we love hearing from you guys and like, also, you have such interesting opinions and hot takes and like you, I don't know, you send funny memes and stuff. We like to laugh.
Oh,
we like all of that. Yeah. We love sharing. Mm-hmm. It's great. We love it.
Oh, guys.
Wow. This feels like Christmas.
What a special day.
This is Christmas.
What a special day. And you know what? Thanks so much, listeners, for listening to Inside the Disney Vault. Without you, there's no us, truly. Reach out to us. Talk to us. We love
you. We love the feedback.
You can end up here. Thank you so much, Sergio.
Thank you.
How very sweet. How
we
very kind.
We really love this. This has been so great.
Everyone watch Coco. All right.
It's on Netflix. Shout out to Netflix.
Until it's on Disney Plus.
Shout out to Disney Plus.
Oh, look. Pepita's here. We should climb on board fly to the next section.
I'm going to get on Dante.
Good luck. We're going to be saving you momentarily.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to Inside the Disney Vault. I've been Oscar.
I'm Claire.
I'm Rachel.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Have you ever encountered an unexplained hairy bipedal hominid in the woods?
Have you received telepathic messages from an unidentified aerial phenomenon?
If so, then you need to listen to Bigfoot Collectors Club. I'm Michael McMillan.
And I'm Bryce Johnson.
And together with super producer
Riley Bray,
we make up the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
That's right. Every week we talk to actors, comedians, writers, and paranormal experts about their personal paranormal histories and share stories of high strangeness.
Like the time when we talked to Craig Ferguson about the Loch Ness Monster and when a sea witch told him he had raven magic.
Or the time I asked Pitch Perfect's Anna Camp her opinion on cattle mutilations. Past guests have included Rachel Bloom, Jen Kirkman, Paul F. Tompkins, Bobcat Goldthwait, and more.
So if you've ever been abducted alongside five reindeer by an alien with drills for hands or witnessed Bigfoot crawl out of an interdimensional portal,
don't laugh, happens all the time.
Then check out Bigfoot Collectors Club on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bigfoot Collectors Club, you're here to believe us.
Wait, is that how it goes?
Campfire.